Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Somebody that's willing to go ahead and say, you know what? You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what it has taken me to get to where I am right now. And in spite of everything else that's going on, I don't mind putting my hands together. I don't mind raising my hands in the air. I don't mind yelling with a loud voice. I don't mind telling somebody just how good my God is. There ought to be somebody that's willing to, I'm not going back. It can't be like it was anymore. Amen. Amen, amen. It's cost me too much. It cost me too much to be where I am right now. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody come to have church? Amen, amen. Anybody think God's worthy? Amen. Amen. I want to go ahead and share with you some scriptures. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. We read it earlier. I want to go ahead and read it one more time, and I want to ask that you go ahead and read along silently with me. If you want to read out loud, that's fine too. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. Amen. Amen. Who has it? Who has it? You got it? You ready? Amen. If you want to stand, not because of me, but because of him. Amen. This is his word. This is his word. Why do we stand? Why do we stand when we read the word of God? Because we reverence his word. Amen. It's his word that brings about change. And so by getting ready to share this word, don't you understand somebody's life is getting ready to change? And so we stand and give God glory in anticipation of what he's getting ready to do. Just in case somebody was wondering, why do we got to stand? Amen. Amen. It says here, and this is Jesus speaking as he's preparing his disciples for persecution, for what they're getting ready to have to deal with. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, we thank you for your word, God, and we thank you for what it is that you are allowing to happen here in this place. Father, I simply ask, God, that your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done here. So, God, I ask that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. God, we need you. We can't make it without you. So, God, bless us that we would be blessed. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. If you have a program and you choose to write down notes today, or if you have a notebook and you're pulling out your notebook and you're writing down notes for today, I want to give you a title for today's sermon. The title of today's sermon is The Cost of Commitment. The Cost of Commitment. Anytime someone has committed to something, anytime someone has said, this is what I'm going to do, I've made up in my mind, I've made a choice, this is the area that I'm going in, I'm going to stick with this relationship, I'm going to stick with this program, I'm going to stick with going to school, I'm going to stick with going my job, I'm going to stick with whatever it is. Anytime someone has committed to something, there's a cost associated with it. Someone might say, well, no, that choice was free for me to make. Yeah, the choice was free for you to make, but in being committed, there's going to be times that sacrifice is required. I often look in the Bible when I read the Bible and I read stories about Jesus, and I see it and I say, well, you know, Jesus was about his father's business, but I also see that Jesus liked to have a good time. He liked to fellowship. He liked to hang out with his friends. He liked to go over to folks' house and hang out with them and sit and talk. He liked to say, you know what, we don't even have to be in the house. We can just all go out here to this field and just have a big old cookout. Oh, Jesus, we don't have enough food. Don't worry about that. I'm Jesus. I got it. We're going to have a good time. He liked to have a good time, but he was committed. He was committed all the way to the end. To what seemed as though it was the end. It never gave up. These scriptures right here seem a little bit harsh when you first read it. I believe everybody here has a mother. If you don't know have a mother, I don't know how you got here. But everybody here has a mother. Everybody here has a father. Regardless of whatever that relationship might be, is a mother and a father. If you have the title of being a parent yourself, then you either have a son or a daughter. This scripture here says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I've been blessed that my mother and father are still living. Not only my mother and father, but I also have, because of my beautiful wife, I don't know where she went, my beautiful wife, I also have a mother in love and a father in love. I have many people that fit those titles, and I love them very much. Somebody was to mess with my mother, it's going to garner a certain type of response from me. I'm also a father of five. So I have sons and I have daughters. If my sons or either my daughters come up and say that there's a problem, somebody's messing with them, then that's going to also garner a certain type of response. But Christ says, you can't love them more than you love me. If you're willing to go all out for them, what are you willing to do for me? What are you willing? What steps are you? What sacrifices are you willing to make? Because I just thinking about it, as a father, there's times I've gone without eating to make sure that they ate. As a father, there's times that I might have wanted some clothes, I might have wanted some shoes, but because they said they wanted some, I made sure that they had what they needed. As a father, there's a lot of different sacrifices that I can think that I've made. But then Christ says, I want you to love me more. Where are those sacrifices at? As we give our life to Christ, do you know what you have to do? You have to deny yourself. You have to deny those wants and those desires that rise up in self. Well, if this is what I'm going to be about and this is who I say that I am, there's some stuff that's going to have to be cut off. Now, these are very intimate relationships here when we're talking about parents and we're talking about children. And so if we're talking about some of the most serious relationships that we have in our life, then I'm sure that that means any other relationship as well. So there's going to be friends that because of my commitment, I'm going to have to cut off. There's going to be some other family members that because of my commitment to him, I'm going to have to cut off. Now, not just those physical relationships, but I got some relationships with some other things. We have folk that gave testimony about some folk had a relationship with a drug. Some folk had a relationship with a drink. Some folk have relationship with many different things. But the cost of commitment is that those things have to be cut off. Amen. This second verse here, verse 38, says, "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Taketh up his cross. His cross. Well, I know Jesus carried a cross. Based upon how Roman structure was set up at that time, the person that actually carried the cross was actually showing the symbolism that the Romans were right about in their judgment. That if you wasn't guilty of it, then you wouldn't have picked up the cross. You wouldn't have carried it. But because of the fact that you carried the cross, it signifies the fact that you're guilty. I'm guilty. I've messed up. I haven't done everything that I was supposed to do. Therefore, I have a cross to bear. Now, I can run around like it's not there. I can live my life as though God I don't owe him anything. But the fact of the matter still is that every single one of us has a cross to bear. And if I'm going to be committed to him, see, as long as I'm running around in the world, I could care less about the cross. Because the cross isn't important to me. There's not a relationship that makes the cross of any value to me. But once I have a relationship with him, now I got to pick up that cross. And now I have to carry that cross. Because I have to show everybody I'm guilty. I'm guilty and I've messed up. But I love the testimony that talked about grace and mercy. Because yet that I've messed up and I'm carrying this cross, I'm carrying this cross because of a relationship. See, he says here in this scripture, he says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I have to first realize that I need him. I can't make it without him. And so in bearing my cross, that shows that I'm following him. Because who first carried the cross? And so now, can you imagine, as a believer, is in everything that you go through, I don't know how much time you've actually allowed your imagination to actually take over. And imagine the footsteps that Jesus must have taken. Imagine maybe the pain that he dealt with. Maybe imagine the ridicule that he dealt with. But now in 2016, with every step, I'm getting closer to him. With every step, I'm getting closer. In each step, I can imagine God just saying, "You're going in the right direction. Jesus, you remember what happened? He was carrying a cross, but somewhere along the way, the cross became a little bit more than he could carry at the time. You remember what happened? What happened? He dropped it. He dropped it. Picked it back up. Kept going. But then it came to a point that he dropped it, and it was so difficult for him to even pick it up again. But then there was somebody else that was right there to say, come on. And they did it together. I hope you got somebody else that's willing to go with you together. There's a cost for commitment. We say it now in 2016. This is my ride or die. This is who this person is in my life. I got somebody beside me. This is the person that I know that no matter how it goes down, they're going to be right there for me. There's a cost of commitment. This last verse says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. For me, that means this isn't something I can do on my own. I can't walk this life on my own. And if I walk around and I'm a self-made man, everything that I've made is going to eventually crumble. Oh, I can handle this situation. This ain't no problem. I can handle this. They won't know. Let me just wipe it off and paint it. Put a little fresh coat of paint on it. They won't know. I can handle this. But Christ says, you got to lose what you got to get what you need. You think you got what you need. The car is nice. The house is nice. Those things are nice. So from the outside, if you take a pen and a piece of paper and you write it down, you put a list of things of what you got, it looks good. But if you don't have God at the first of that list, it ain't worth nothing. It's not even worth the pen that it's written on, nor the pen that it was written with. Because if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. This cost of commitment. There's a guy, I was trying to earlier work on my phone, and I don't know what has happened to my phone. It is acting crazy. There's a guy named John White, and he wrote a book. The title of the book is The Cost of Commitment by John White. And I want to read you a few sentences here. He says, following Christ, says John White, is not cheap. The cost is substantial. There will be suffering and loss. But the benefits, rewards, and joys that come with our commitment to Him are well worth the sacrifices that must be made to answer the call to Christ. Consider the cost, then take up your cross and follow Jesus in the only life worth living. The cost of commitment. I don't know about you, I can talk about me, is that all right? There's family that I don't talk to. There's friends that I no longer associate with. I have a straight up battle every day. And it's not a battle that everybody can see. The battle happens right here. Between these 2 ears. Every single day. It really seems as though it doesn't let up. even when I feel as though that I've won and I've closed that case, seems like something else always pops up. But I'm committed to Him. I'm not going to always do the right thing. I'm not going to always say the right thing. The majority of the time, my heart's in the right place. Is it okay to be transparent? But it's a battle every day. And each day, with every battle, I lose a piece of myself. And I used to think that that was a bad thing. That I lose a piece of Kevin. But what I receive in return becomes so much more. Because see, the way that this works out is that if I'm losing a piece of Kevin, then I'm gaining a piece of him. And in gaining a piece of him, my appearance even starts to change. I don't think I look good now, don't get me wrong. Don't get that wrong. But my appearance starts to change. Because see, my commitment to him is based upon where I planned up dealing with my everlasting. This is temporary. This is yet but a moment. If drinking is my issue, how long did I stay drunk? If getting high was my issue, how long did I stay high? If running around doing whatever, how long did that last? I might be able to tell you that it lasted over a period of time, but I won't drunk the whole time. See, I got drunk, and then I came down, then I had to drink again. It was moments. But what I'm talking about is something that's going to be everlasting. See, it won't be a up and a down. It'll just be constantly. I won't have to worry about valleys anymore. Scripture tells me that's all it'll be. That's where my commitment lies. The cost of commitment. You're going to lose things. You're going to lose relationships. You're going to lose relationships are going to falter. That's going to happen. The cost of relationships, of the cost of commitment, you're going to lose stuff. You're going to lose stuff. Not just physical stuff. You're going to lose who you are. That's going to happen. You're going to lose ego. You're going to lose pride. You're going to lose heartiness, thinking of yourself to be better than what you really are. Because that same Bible tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so why do you think you are that? Even when you're doing it all right, we still don't measure up. Not when we stand on our own. Going to lose relationships, we're going to lose stuff. And lastly, it's going to require work. picking up the cross, you think about it. What you've been through, it's not a light cross. I don't know about your cross. My cross is not a nice, smooth cross. I got splinters. I got nails. Sometimes I feel as though my cross is wrapped in barbed wire. That razor stuff that's at the prison. You know what I'm talking about? But it's part of it. Because I'm committed. Committed to Him. And I want to tell you that as a believer, you're not going to make it without that commitment. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. Perfect in meaning that you're going to get everything right. But it means that you will be perfectly you. See, the cross that I describe, your cross might not look like mine. Because it's not supposed to. We had different testimonies. Why? Because we go through different journeys. And so the commitment thing for me is going to look different than it might look for you. But the results will all be the same. The cost of commitment. Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together for the Lord? I mean, that sounded good, like if we was at a Hornets game or like a Panthers game. But can we go ahead and put our hands together for the Lord? Amen, amen, amen. God gave me this message, and I was excited about it, and I just wanted to come out, and I just wanted to, But when I got up here, it didn't happen that way. I think the reason that it didn't happen that way, because there's some things that God wants us to get. The world will tell you right now, go ahead and do it your way. Try it out. Go ahead. It's not designed that way. Commitment is going to cost something. You don't get something for nothing. That's what God is looking at. He's really not looking at the fact of whether you're right or you're wrong. Again, I gave you scripture. He's already said all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. So He's really not looking at the fact of the right and the wrong. The biggest thing to Him, you can go all the way to the book of Genesis, the biggest thing from Him, all the way to Revelation, the biggest thing to Him is your commitment. He said, Adam, I told you something. Are you committed to what I said? Don't eat. Are you committed to it? Are you obedient to what? Are you committed to it? Christ comes and we're in the New Testament. He says, love one another as the way I've loved you. Are you committed to that? Committed to it? If you read some more, I only read three verses, but if you read some more in there, he starts to talk about how you should respond to your enemy. He starts to say that even those that are your friends, that are closest to you, can sometimes be your enemy. And you still got to love on them anyway. I don't know if you've been in a situation where you've had to love your enemy, but that's not easy. But he doesn't say, do you do the right or the wrong thing? He says, are you committed? So although there's a cost for commitment, the reward outweighs it. After listening to the word today, it's personal decision time. Personal decision time is exactly that.